Legislation is changing. Budgets are shifting. And terms like one big beautiful bill can feel anything but beautiful. That's where BHM CPA Group steps in. BHM's purpose is to simplify the complex. Their team is trained to meet today's challenges with real-world solutions in tax, accounting, and business planning. Get the clarity you deserve so that your business can thrive. Don't wait. Visit BHMCPAGroup.com. That's BHMCPAGroup.com. BHM, because running a business is hard enough. Your finances shouldn't be.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Sam Stein, managing editor at The Bulwark, joined by Andrew Egger, Morning Shot's co-author. Here to talk about Kilmer Abrego-Garcia. Big things happening today. You guys probably know the story of the case. But Andrew, this morning we woke up. There's some new news. This is kind of a moving target. So as we're speaking, which is like 10:15 this morning, tell us the latest.
For the last while, basically since he came back to the U.S., Kilmer Abrego-Garcia has been in custody, not of immigration officials, but he's been under custody for the criminal charges that the White House has brought, the Justice Department has brought against him, supposedly for smuggling people, other undocumented immigrants, from one point of the country to the other in 2022. That's why he's been in custody. Over the weekend, he was released for the first time since he became sort of a household name. He was allowed to walk free for the duration of this weekend, released from a federal prison in Tennessee, and was at home over the weekend. But this morning in Baltimore, he was required to report back into ICE custody in Baltimore. And he was widely expected to be re-detained, and that's what happened. He showed up at an ICE facility in Maryland and was taken back into custody. He and his wife walked in, only his wife walked out. And the Department of Homeland Security has immediately announced its plans to move forward with deporting him, not to El Salvador, where he can't be deported, according to a former stay from a judge, and also not to anywhere nearby, but over to Uganda is what they have recently announced.
Presumably he has tons of family members there and ties and all that.
Yeah. Obviously not. And this is a thing that his lawyers have characterized, and I think with obviously accurately as just completely punitive. The Justice Department and DHS were putting forward a plea deal for Kilmer Abrego-Garcia over the weekend, where if he would agree to plead guilty to these federal charges that they have slapped on him in a sort of a face-saving measure to try to make him look bad and make them look better for deporting him to El Salvador in the first place, if he would agree to plead guilty to that, he would serve some time in prison here, and then he would have been deported to Costa Rica, is what the deal on the table was. Instead, what appears to be the case is that he did not agree to take that plea. He has pled not guilty to those charges. He is currently trying to get a judge to throw them out as essentially being a targeted unjust political prosecution. And so instead, what they are now trying to do is, all right, you know, we tried to be nice. We tried to give you a way out. And so instead, and again, it's just amazing because this is immigration policy, not criminal enforcement, right? But what they're now trying to do is to deport him deliberately to a place where he has no connections in order to kind of hit him for not taking this plea.
Let's just take a pause and just be candid about, I think, what happened here, which is the government fucked up. They fucked up and then they compounded their fuck up with a sort of regime of cruelty towards this one individual because they couldn't admit that they fucked up. The original fuck up was sending him to El Salvador, which they were not allowed to do. And when it was exposed that they sent him to El Salvador, they created a, you know, image of this man, and some of it may be true. We don't know. This is why you adjudicate these things. But they created this image of this man who was a wife beater, who was a smuggler, who, in their telling, would go continuously from Maryland to Texas and back and forth over ungodly amount of hours smuggling illegal immigrants into the country, who may have transported minors. I mean, they made all these allegations just because they fucked up. And then they detained him and they brought him back, even though they said they couldn't bring him back. And then they put these charges against him. And now they're saying, well, you know what? We'll be nice to you and send you to Costa Rica if you admit to this, if you plead guilty to these charges. Or we'll send you to Uganda. And it's like, that's not a real choice. They're basically just trying to compound their fuck up by being more cruel to the guy. And they think they're smart about it. And you can jump in at any point here, but like they think they're so smart about it because they think, oh, well, we get all these people defending this guy who's a bad guy. And, you know, look at these libs who defend this guy. When in reality, the defense is just do things properly. Just go by the usual letter of the law, follow the proper procedures. If you end up deporting the guy through proper procedures, fine. But don't be an asshole about it. And that's essentially what they're doing here, is just compounding their fuck up by being an asshole. Sorry, I know it's too silly and crude, but that's basically what it is.
No, it's 100% what it is. And we should drill down specifically on this plea thing too, because this is really kind of where it gets beyond the pale if it wasn't already, because ordinarily, and look, like plea agreements are already sort of overused around America. It's like a longtime criminal justice thing that it's like it's too common for prosecutors to kind of threaten that they're going to soak a guy with all kinds of charges in order to get him to plead down to something smaller. There are reasons why that happens. It's a bit of a thorny debate, but the whole thing there is that if you don't take the plea, then you're rolling the dice at trial, right? Like, but before a jury or whatever, which is not at all what the Justice Department is trying to say here. What they're trying to say here is take the plea, plead guilty to these criminal charges, or we're going to try really hard to short circuit your criminal trial to not let you go to trial at all. Instead to dump you across an ocean in Uganda.
Now, why would they not want it to go to trial? Why would they not want that? If they think they have the goods in this guy, right? They have the goods in this guy. They put together this comprehensive complaint against him. They say they have, geo trackers, having him in Texas and then dropping people off across the country illegally. If they have the goods, wouldn't they want to go to trial?
And I don't want to like get this twisted, because it is totally possible that there is some criminal behavior that they would be able to prove against Kilmer Burgo Garcia. The problem for them is that the criminal behavior, even that they themselves have alleged in the indictment, is not even close to the stuff that they have gotten up at podiums at the White House and what Pam Bondi has said outside of a courtroom about him, in terms of just like him being like a high ranking MS-13 gangbanger and throwing around the term human trafficking and all those sorts of things. If you actually sit down and read the indictment that they charge against him, human trafficking is not the crime. It's not the alleged crime. Human trafficking is a terrible crime that involves taking people from one place to another against their will, which is not what Kilmer Abrego Garcia has been charged with. Kilmer Abrego Garcia has just been charged with basically taking people from point A to point B who are in the country illegally, right? Like kind of helping move them to the interior of the country. Still a crime. If they can prove it in court, then they ought to, and it ought to be charged as such. But the point I'm trying to make is that even that doesn't really get them where they want to get, which is this guy's like pure evil, and he ought to be like
that's my
spat
point
out of the mouth
is that they
of
don't
the
have
States
the goods
America.
That's my mm-hmm. point. They don't have the goods. Yeah. They just want to make an example of this guy. And, maybe they'll end up making an example of him and they will get him to Uganda. I should note that his attorney has filed a legal action to block his immediate deportation. It's a habeas petition. It's with the judge who handled the earlier legal proceedings that involved him being sent to El Salvador. We'll see how it plays out. But, he's got the full weight of the federal government going after him. This is, it's unlikely that he's going to end up in a good spot here. I wanted to note another story because, we're just sort of drowning in the cruelty of the immigration regime here. But this one really caught my mind. It's not Kilmer Abrego Garcia, but to a degree, it does illustrate just how much this dragnet has impacted people both here legally and illegally, and for like real crimes and like totally petty crimes that are, years old. So this story popped up. It's from masslive.com. I'm just going to read parts of it, but it involves a husband who watched his wife, this guy named Marcel Rosa, who watched his wife, Jemmy Jimenez Rosa, being taken away. And this was at Boston Logan on August 11th. What happened was she was detained after they came back from Mexico. They had their three young daughters with them. And, Jimenez Rosa is a legal permanent resident. She's actually a mother of four U.S. citizens. Her lawyers believe she was detained because of a decades-old personal use marijuana charge, which is no longer a crime in Massachusetts. So what happens is they get in, they detain the the mother and the husband in front of the ICE agents, or the agents, I should say, says, quote, "I was just like, girls, we might never see your mother again in this country. I looked over to the officer and said, am I telling the truth? And he said, yeah, that could be possible. I told my kids right in front of the officer that she's being arrested, and the girls just started crying, hugging her," the husband said. "I know most parents would not have told that to their kids, but there was no way I was going to allow those officers to think they're just going to rip my wife away from my family, thinking it's going to be business as usual. The girls just clung to him and started crying." And wife ended up being detained for 10 days. The family was thrust into what the paper says is a bureaucratic maze as the 42-year-old mother was shuttled between detention facilities, including one for men only, from Massachusetts to Maine. She was denied proper health care for her diabetes, asthma, and other serious health issues, which led to 2 hospitalizations, her lawyer said. All this happened while her husband, who was a former Department of Homeland Security employee who grew up in Boston, struggled to locate her and secure her release through court intervention. I'll just read how it ends up because it's disturbing how it all ends up. She ends up being released. This is how the paper describes it. Jimenez Rosa's time in custody ended with her alone, wet, and begging for help at a cheesecake factory in the Burlington Mall after ICE agents released her into the rainy street outside the detention facility Wednesday night. She was 30 miles from home with no phone and a broken spirit. The family fears that their nightmare will never truly end. I don't know. I'm like speechless about it.
Yeah, it's what do you say about a story like that? I mean, it's in some respect, these are the good stories, I guess,
because
they have an ending. These are the ones where like a person gets swept up. Yeah, in the but
no,
like it's horrifying in every respect. This person should never have been swept up in this deportation dragnet. It shows like unbelievable failures in policy. It's unbelievably traumatic for the family. And the kicker is that like even though these are like quote unquote the better outcomes, these are like the only way these stories where like the person where ICE realizes that they kind of made a mistake and they put the person back or close to back 30 miles away at a fucking cheesecake factory, and they're able to kind of then come out and talk about what happened to them. I mean, anytime it's a citizen getting swept up in this dragnet or a legal permanent resident, I mean, the conditions they talk about are uniformly horrifying. Like nobody knows what's going on. It's totally slapdash. They're shuttled from facility to facility. They don't get to talk to their lawyer. They don't get the treatment they need. I mean, this is in every story. And it's not like the people who shouldn't be getting swept up in this are getting treated worse. This is just, these are the only glimpses we get into this totally chaotic, totally inhumane, totally barbaric system that is handling thousands and thousands of new people who get swept up into it every single day in this country, most of whom are either just detained indefinitely at this point, or are getting deported and so aren't able to tell these stories. But it's, I mean, the scale of the brutality here is something that I think we still haven't really gotten our heads around. And the only way to do it is to continue to focus on these individual stories and the individual human harms. But it is grotesque. I mean, it's really, really bad out there.
Yeah. I had someone ask me who is like in this field of advocacy being like, what do we do about this stuff? And honestly, the only answer I had to this person was you just got to keep documenting that it's happening, right? In this case, this woman, just to be clear, was a 20-year-old college student when she was arrested for having possessing a small amount of marijuana. She actually pleaded guilty and fully served probation for it. This was 2003, so 22 years ago. The only thing I would just say is, yes, fair enough. This is the good ending in that she was returned 10 days after going through whatever hell she had to go through, dropped off at a cheesecake factory in the rain. What the fuck? But like her kids witnessed all this in real time. The mom being pulled away and detained at an airport and sent away, and the father being like, you may never see your mother again. And he was being honest with them. And that doesn't just end there. I mean, there's some lingering trauma that comes with something like that. And so even in these good stories, the story doesn't end there. This is going to impact the kids forever. This is going to impact this family forever. She will never, I imagine, travel internationally again. She might never, I have no idea what they're going to think, but she's certainly going to have to think about her future here with her family, with this hanging over her head. It's awful. And this is what we're doing. What's the upside? What's the upshot for this? Like, is she a threat? She's here legally. Is she a threat? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we glossed over the fact that the precipitating cause of all of this was the fact that several decades ago, while she was in college, she was busted for a minor marijuana possession.
So they're clearly going through all these old reports looking for any infraction for any green card holder or anything like that. So it's a dark time. Clearly.
Yeah, yeah. Can we talk just real briefly again about the reaction of the dad that you mentioned there? Yeah. Because like I definitely could imagine a person being like, well, you know, like play it cool for the sake of your kids, you know, like don't like don't make this big scene now. But also at the same time, like plainly this was like a person who has been following these stories, who has like just seen the way that people are just getting vacuumed up and like in a way, I mean, like, and this is another just kind of really grotesque feature of a lot of these stories that you read, where like at the point of arrest, at the point of detention, the people are still kind of feeling like, is there some mistake here? Like, surely these people are not blowing up my life right now because of this nonsense that happened, you know, two decades ago or whatever. Like surely there's been some mistake. Surely there's going to be some sort of like, somebody higher up will realize that something has gone wrong and it will be attended to. And like in a lot of these stories, it doesn't get attended to. It's just, their lives are just ruined like forever. Yeah. And so like you can put yourselves in the shoes of that guy and be like, no, fuck no, you're not going to take my wife here without us like making you feel what you're doing to us, like you agents of the state right now. And I totally get that. I mean, I'm totally sympathetic to that. It's just horrible.
It does affect you because you see all these videos that people are shooting, including in DC actually, where people are being detained and like the only recourse they have in that moment is to plead to the humanity of the agent who is arresting them or detaining them. And to say, there's one viral video that was going around in DC where this guy's like, my wife just gave birth. Like literally she cannot walk. She cannot move. I need to get to her. And he was detained. And you know, all the people in DC right now who are chanting against these guardsmen and ICE agents and FBI officials being like, do you have no humanity? Like, don't you understand what you're doing? Like, think about what legacy you're leaving. Like, it's just them pleading with these people to say, be a better person. And in this case, the same thing. A father who made the decision, I don't know how the fuck I would react in that moment, who made the decision to plead with this agent saying, tell my kids to their face that they may never see their mother again in the United States. And the agent apparently saying, yeah, that's true. You might not. And then proceeding with it anyway. So... well, this has been uplifting. Really good start to the day. Andrew, thank you so much. I appreciate it. No, I really do appreciate that you're still on this story. So thank you.
Can I circle around just say one other thing about Rodrigo Garcia here at the end? Well, just because I think, just to put a kind of a bow on it, because like just going by like him playing the percentages in his own case, like I don't know, I might have taken the deal to go to Costa Rica and just like said what the government wanted me to say. And like, you know, it's hard to put yourself in that shoes and turn that down when the alternative is so horrific. And like you said, like, we don't know to what extent he's like a great guy, to what extent he may have done various unsavory things like in his life. But like, I think it is like actually basically heroic to like, to refuse to go along with this whole thing for all the reasons we've been talking about and refuse to like make yourself a mouthpiece for the government and get yourself a slightly better deal here, because like the whole thing is so unbelievably grotesque. And the fact that he is actually fighting it to the extent that he can, I think is really laudable.
So we'll see how it ends up. Good bow. Thank you for putting the bow on that. Andrew Egger, appreciate you, man. Talk to you later. For everyone who watched this, appreciate you guys watching this. Subscribe to the feed so you can get more content and conversations like this. We'll talk to you soon.